are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Tuesday edition of the show alongside my co-host, Mr. Gino Camilleri. Gino, what's going on, brother?
You know, just new college football game announced today, man.
So oh, that's right. Exciting. NCAA announced they're bringing it back. What's this, for the first time since 2014?
Don't know if it's necessarily NCAA. They just said college football on the good announcement, We don't know with the whole deal with the players. Hopefully they do get their money. But this is the first time since Denard Robinson was on the cover in 2014, so it's exciting. And it's arguably – I was trying to think of the top three football video games today, and I said number one for me is always 2K5. With T.O. on the cover.
Yeah, with T.O. on the cover. That's a good one.
I'd say number two would have to be NCAA 14. And then
I have another one in mind. I'm curious to see what number three is for you.
NFL Street. The first one was unbelievable.
Oh, really? I was a big NFL Street 2 guy. But yeah, same thing. Those games are amazing.
Great.
I would also nominate Madden 04. I think with Vic.
Yes, Michael Vic.
That's so fun to play with Michael Vick in that game, it's kind of unfair. But I didn't have a lot of college football video games growing up. I had 2014. I also had the one with DeSean Jackson on the cover from Cal
in
2009. So I'm pumped that those games are coming back, man. Those were fun.
It's exciting, and now it'll be cool to actually see guys that we're scouting and be able to play with them.
Yes,
It'll allow a lot of us internet scouts to live out our dream of being player personnel guys at college, so I'm excited for it.
Speaking of those prospects, Gino, we have a programming update next Monday. It's a fan favorite, I think, show that we do on Locked On Eagles and across the Locked On Podcast Network. Mock Draft Monday returns, my friend. So we're going to do some 7-round mock drafts again.
Yeah, this is our either a third or fourth go around with Mock Draft Mondays here now. So we got 10 weeks or 3 months or so before the draft. We're gonna get funky with it. We'll obviously do the big one. We know the Jamar Chase or Devonta Smith one, but we'll make it interesting. We'll trade up, we'll trade down. We'll be like Howie, and with the top half of the draft, the top 10 picks, top half of the first 10 picks usually being quarterbacks, it's going to open up a lot of things for the Eagles. If they want to trade back, accumulate some picks, we know they want to get younger. It's going to be interesting for Philly, and I like being at six, honestly.
And so make sure you guys are subscribed to Locked On Eagles on any podcast platform for 5 episodes a week. And every Monday, we're going to do Mock Draft Monday up until the start of the 2021 NFL Draft. And you can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Radio.com, you name it. Me and Gino are available on all platforms. As for today's edition of the show, we thought we'd take some time to let you, the listeners, kind of dictate what we're going to talk about. We're going to bring back the mailbag portion of Locked On Eagles on today's edition of the show. So through segments 1, 2, and 3, we're going to take your guys' questions. We're going to do this a lot, I think, on Tuesdays. We're going to do Twitter Tuesday. So be sure to follow us on Twitter to get your questions in at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase, L-O-E. Gino, I always forget your handle. What's your new handle again?
At GC24 underscore football.
And also our email is lockedoneaglespodcast@gmail.com. So you can hit us up on the email part of our platform as well if you want to get your questions in. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to answer some questions. And Gino, let's start up with what Leo asked on Twitter at @king_a_Leo. He writes in, and this has to do with the quarterback position. And I think some people are getting sick of talking about quarterback, but after reading the questions, that is what people want to talk about. It's the big question of the offseason for 2021 between Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts. And it's going to be, I mean, the reason we're talking about it so much is it's quarterback, and it's what's going to dictate the future of the Eagles. What they decide to do between keeping Wentz, Hurts, maybe taking a guy at number 6, as we talked about. Maybe we'll try that out in Mock Draft Monday one of these days. That is so crucial to the future of the Eagles, what they decide this year at the position. Leo writes in, if we were to trade Jalen Hurts, what team do you think he would fit best with, and what would the compensation be? Gino, I think there's a few teams that come to mind for me instantly. I think New England and San Francisco are two teams I think he'd fit really well with. I think New England, they'd love his character there, the leadership, that winning pedigree. And I think the 49ers, too, they showed their hand. They were interested in Matt Stafford. They're clearly not sold on Jimmy Garoppolo. They also apparently were reportedly interested in Kirk Cousins. So I think maybe if they want to, you know, spend less draft capital and go for a guy like Jalen Hurts, I think San Fran would like him too. I think he'd be efficient in their, you know, quick one read passing game. Not saying it's always one read, but, you know, quick decisions. The mobility there is, it's there as well. So I think the Niners and Patriots are two teams I think of.
Patriots for sure, because Jalen Hurts does two things that they thought Cam Newton can do, but Jalen Hurts can actually do them, and he can throw the football, and he's an athlete and can run. So he fits that 11-on-11 mentality that Belichick wants. He's best friends with Nick Saban. The connections are endless. We know that that's definitely a possibility. I think Carolina is another one that you could look at. I don't think they're totally sold on Teddy Bridgewater, but they like that athlete at the quarterback position. Jalen for sure is somebody that they would look at. I'm sure Joe Brady has studied enough Jalen Hurts tape in his career to know enough about him being at LSU and him being at Alabama. And you're right, I think San Francisco is definitely an option. And the compensation, I'm sticking with the third and a fifth being the compensation.
Yeah, that's what
I don't think
too.
They get a two back for him, but I think a third and a fifth, much like the Darius Slay trade, is something that's definitely doable.
Yeah, I think I wrote down a three or a four would be feasible right now, considering the market. And I think there are other names that were certainly going to be available, but you never know. Like, Geno, if they hold on to Hurts, kind of like they did in 2016 with Sam Bradford, Chase Daniel, and Carson Wentz, and they have just this, you know, amount of riches at the position. And who knows, maybe there's another injury. I mean, we saw a Super Bowl contending team in the Minnesota Vikings lost their starting quarterback right before the season in Teddy Bridgewater. That could jack up the value as well. If one of these teams lose their starter, who knows, then maybe suddenly for Jalen Hurts, you could get a second-round pick, or I doubt that a first-round pick would be feasible, but maybe you get a two in a blown-up market, depending on what happens. So depending on how long you keep Jalen Hurts as well, that also, I think, could dictate the market for him.
Should have tried to get in on the Rams picks market. They're just handing out first-round picks.
They don't care about first-round picks at all.
They're not picking again until 2023
in the first round.
And to think that they gave up two first-round picks to go up and get Jared Goff, then they had to use the first-round pick to select him, and then they gave up two more first-round picks to get rid of him. So they used five first-round picks on this player.
My God.
It's never going to happen with Carson Wentz
of all guys, Geno, to give that much value in investing and trading up for him, paying him, and then to get rid of him. I mean, it's insane.
It's absolutely insane to me. But Jalen Hurts, somebody who you haven't invested $100 million guaranteed and two first-round draft picks and the tag of quote-unquote franchise quarterback to be earned yet again, Jalen Hurts is a much more movable contract than Carson would be just from dollars and cents.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Great question, Leo. Thanks for checking out the show. Let's go to question number two in segment one. Eric at It's Mr. Marcus on Twitter writes in, if you were the quarterback coach, how would you go about fixing Carson Wentz in 2021? Geno, this is a good question. I'll let you start first. Like, how would you go about fixing Carson Wentz? Like, what's the first move? Maybe it's something you tell him off the field. Maybe it's somebody you draft. Maybe it's a certain way to coach him and run your offense. Like, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you're trying to fix Carson Wentz this year?
So I think they've gone ahead and done a little bit of that. And I believe that getting an offensive head coach that has the ability to adapt from quarterback to quarterback is huge. And we believe that Doug could do that, but if we look at the evidence, maybe he was better off designing offenses for Nick Foles better than he did for Carson Wentz when it's all said and done. So I think bringing in Nick Sirianni, who he said it in his introductory press conference, he had three quarterbacks in his time in Indy, three seasons in a row, three completely different quarterbacks. You now have a guy who's able, and he said it, I think, on WIP, that he could build an offense for Carson or for Jalen, but that puts more confidence in me that he can help Carson, because you needed a guy that can build around Carson's strengths, and they didn't do that the past two seasons. I would get him outside the pocket more. I would rely more on Miles Sanders. I would get him a high-profile wide receiver at six, and then if things don't work out this year, you move on. But they're doing a lot of things in that room to get going in the right direction. Sirianni was the first hire, and if I'm the quarterback coach, I just say, you get back to basics, Carson. We turn on that 2017 film. We go over his footwork. We go over his throwing motion. We go over his eye discipline. We go over his decision-making, and we say, can you do this again? And if they believe that he can't, you cut your losses after this year. I still believe that he can. I think top 15 is still a position that Carson can
get to with his skill set. And having Sirianni there, who was able to make Phillip Rivers in his last season look somewhat decent and almost beat the Buffalo Bills if they converted on one of those fourth downs in the red zone, I'm enticed to see where this goes with this offense. And everything that they've been saying, I'm still firm that they want to fix Carson Wentz. That's still my stance for this team.
Yeah, me and you think a lot alike here. I wrote down I'd put emphasis on moving him around the pocket, you know, outside mm-hmm. the pocket, because I think through 2016, even last year when he was good, Geno, Carson Wentz is better throwing the football outside mm-hmm. the pocket on the run. When, right. Even again, he was elite in that area in 2017, 2018, and 2019. And again, when he was good last year, that is how he was doing it. Mm-hmm. Better throwing off platform when it was really just like pure arm throws. And I think it's interesting because you look at his issues with mechanics, Geno. Mm-hmm. I think when he just had to rely on those mechanics, like when he was just standing up in the pocket and he, you know, things had to work with his feet, with his hips, with his throwing motion itself, I thought that is where he struggled to be accurate. Mm-hmm. But when it was just, again, pure athleticism and it had all right. to do with the arm, that is where it worked mm-hmm. last year. And I think that's interesting for players struggling with mechanics. Sometimes often throwing on the run is easier. So while you try to rebuild those mechanics this year, because I think you have to put emphasis on that. That was mm-hmm. significant issue last year, and I thought even in 2019 it was very inconsistent. One week he would have really good mechanics, the next week it was extremely sloppy. So while you work on that, and you have to work on that, I want to see them get him outside the pocket. Also, mm-hmm. again, just be more creative with formations, you know, right. and other things.
Scheme like, guys open.
Yeah, exactly. Once. You know, use the pistol, empty sets, no huddle, scheme guys open, pre-snap motion. Mm-hmm. There's a lot you can do, but yeah, I think really when it comes to on-the-field strategies, I think getting him outside the pocket is crucial because
that
mechanics
using
have to be
hurry
fixed.
Up because they did that against Buffalo if you watch yep. that playoff game, and that threw them off, and Buffalo was one of those teams that had a solid defense, and you saw once they pumped up the tempo, even with Rivers, somebody who is a slow guy in his own right, you're able to make things work, and that's when Carson clicks, when it's in up-tempo, when he's able to make those quick decisions. Getting him outside the pocket, you think back to that Giants game last year, not this past season, but 2 years ago, when he made that throw to Josh Perkins on that bootleg outside the pocket, looks across his body and makes a throw from the one side of the numbers to the complete other sideline. And those are the throws that he can make with his arm strength, with his decision making. You just have to hone him in, get him back on track, get that train back on the track. And Sirianni, he's a leader of men. He's going to get it going in the right direction. And if not, hey, Carson, it was a good 6-year run. It's time to cut your losses.
Today's edition of Twitter Tuesday on Locked On Eagles is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Ladies and gentlemen, Super Bowl 55 is just a couple days away between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes. It's actually the first time that the last two Super Bowl winning quarterbacks are going toe-to-toe in the championship game. You can get all your bets in at the one place that we trust and the one place that has you covered, BetOnline.ag. If you sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use the promo code LockedOn, that's LockedOn, you're going to get a 50% off welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LockedOn to receive a 50% off welcome bonus with your first deposit. You have everything from individual bets, futures, parlays. It's all there at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into today's edition of Locked On Eagles. To get more of the sports news you need outside of Philadelphia and less time with our new Locked On Today podcast, all you got to do is subscribe on any podcast platform. Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers is now the host of Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcast. Gino, today on Locked On Eagles, we're continuing to get into our listener mailbag. Again, you guys can get in on this action on every Twitter Tuesday. Hit us up on Twitter at LockedOnBirds. You can email us at LockedOnEaglesPodcast@gmail.com. Let's continue to dive into these questions. A lot of good ones in segment one that had to do with the quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts, Carson Wentz. People want to know what Philadelphia is going to try to pull off here at Signal Caller this offseason. Let's go now to Grumpy Warrior at GrumpyWar32, who writes in, Gino and Lou, if you could only pick defensive players for rounds 1 and 2 in 2021,
ooh,
who are you selecting? So let's take Jamar Chase off the board, Devonta Smith. Let's take Kyle Pitts off the board, Jalen Waddle. Gino, if we can only mm-hmm. go defense with our first two picks,
ooh, I love
who are
this.
The names that you're going? I think that's a great question.
I think it's a fantastic question, and I think the hot-button name before the season had started would be a guy like Micah Parsons. We know that they're not tending to go in that direction for the most part. I think a big name you can look at in round one would be a guy like Patrick Surtain. If you want to trade back, get an edge rusher like Quiddy Paye, I think that's definitely something you could do as well. But if you stick at six to take a defensive player, I think the only one worthy is taking Patrick Surtain, because you think that having a very good number two with Darius Slay on the other side can help your team a lot more than what your offense can do. And if you believe your defense is closer to being the winning part of your team, you go out and make that selection. So then if I were to go there in round two, I'm either looking safety, I'm looking edge rusher. One guy that I love is right here by me in Denver, Boogie Basham, one of the greatest names in college football out of the University of Colorado Boulder. He's much like that that mold of – who's the guy out of Texas that we – oh, Charles Omenihu. He's that tweener, edge rusher, three-tech guy. He can bull rush you from the interior. He can beat you with speed on the outside. We don't know what the future at edge is for this team moving forward, Lou. Outside of Sweat, you don't have a surefire answer with Brandon Graham, who's aging. You don't know if Barnett's going to be back, and not picking up his option is very indicative of where they want to go with him. I don't think edge would be one of those positions that you say isn't in the contest for being in the selection in the first 2 days.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think you can tell me, and you talk about the Eagles a lot because we really share a lot of the same thoughts. I wrote down Micah Parsons and Asante Samuel Jr. as maybe two options in the first round and the second round. And again, Philadelphia hasn't taken one linebacker in the first round ever, and that hasn't been since, I want to say, 1973 with Frank LeMaster. Don't quote me on the exact year, but I know it was in the 70s. And so this team, not to say they don't value linebacker, but it might be one of the least positions that they do value.
Right.
However, that doesn't mean they don't need that every down linebacker right now, that do-it-all guy. And I think Parsons wouldn't be considered a traditional linebacker, Gino. I know he's an off-ball guy, but that's kind of devalued in the NFL right now. But that is a huge need on defense right now. The Eagles need at least one linebacker they can rely on three downs against the run, you know, through the air as well. You have no idea what you have in Davian Taylor yet. He's still extremely raw. Alex Singleton had a good end of the year, second half, but I don't know if I want to bank on that as your every down guy. So Parsons is an option at six, although there is that those accusations of bullying that kind of worry me off the field. So that's something you have to consider. But then in the second round, man, I know people have heard me mention it before. I love the idea of Asante Samuel Jr. And of course, a lot of it has to do with my bias for Mr. Pick Six, Asante Samuel, who was the best Eagles corner of the 2010s, but his son really does play a lot like him. He's got good ball skills, great in man coverage. And Gino, unlike his dad, he actually likes to hit. That's the one thing. Asante, he could lay the hit stick if he wanted to. He never really wanted to do that. Whereas his kid can really get in the trenches and set the edge and be good against the run as well. So like you, I think this Eagles team, although the numbers looked okay against the pass, actually more than okay, it was pretty solid. Most of that had to do with Darius Slay though, Gino. I think he really covered up for a lot of the other issues you have at safety and at corner. I mean, I'm not rolling.
Yeah, safety's another one we haven't even talked about.
I'm not running it back with Avante Maddox as my CB2. So Asante Samuel Jr., like you said, Patrick Surtain would be great. Corner and linebacker and safety, that second and third level of the defense need to be worked on.
I think how they addressed linebacker last year will probably be how they address it this year. If they get two guys, it'll probably be later on. I believe they walk away with three, even four defensive backs in this class, seeing who they were talking to at the College Gridiron Showcase when I was running prospects for them. They were talking to a ton of defensive backs. One guy who, if you want to, you talked about linebacker, Lou, if you want somebody that can be that hybrid nickel safety that they'll probably run more of with Gannon there coming from that cover two, cover four system in Indy, you look at a guy who Javon Holland out of Oregon was talked about being a top 10 pick before he opted out this year. If you could get a top 15 talent in the second round in him, or even a guy like Greg Rousseau, who I believe should be a first round pick edge rusher out of Miami, you're going to have the luxury, Lou, of making a selection of a great player on that second day. I am more excited about that second round pick than I am the first round pick, in all honesty, because I think with how many quarterbacks are going to go in this class, there's going to be some guys that fall to day two that are going to be worthy of trading up, maybe to get that 33rd overall pick.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of fun stuff to talk about for the draft. I can't wait to get more into it. But yeah, those are a lot of names to consider. Great question there from Grumpy Warrior. Let's get into Luke now, who writes in, thoughts on the age and inexperienced coaching staff. Lou and Gino, getting put together here, what do you think about the young coaches on both sides of the ball? I mean, Gino, this is a good question. Outside of Jeff Stoutland, really most of these coaches are under the age of 45 to 40, right? Especially on the offensive side of the football. I kind of like that, though. I think younger coaches are more willing to adapt. They're more willing to be open-minded. They're more innovative and, you know, creative as well. And I want coaches that players can relate to like that, that they want to fight for on and off the field, that they can relate to better. I don't want that CEO-like coaching staff that Chip Kelly really established. And so I actually like it, to be honest with you.
I like it a lot, too. And we talked about not wanting one of these guys that just comes in and is that CEO type guy. You want somebody that can connect with his players. And I believe that all of the guys that Sirianni has brought in so far do just that. And he talks about John Gannon, how he can relate to the players, and the players mention that. If you look at Darius Leonard and what he had to say about both Gannon and Sirianni on Twitter, spoke their praises, and what all these other coaches that they coached under had to say. And I'm a big proponent of the idea of respecting your elders as kind of a backwards way of thinking. I think you should respect somebody's skill set regardless of their age. And to look at Sirianni and the guys he's brought in, all of these individuals have big time experience under their belt. I mean, they go out and bring in the quarterback's coach, who is the offensive coordinator at Florida. I mean, that's a big offensive coordinator job to have. And not to mention that Florida almost beat Alabama in the SEC championship game this year and scored nearly 50 points. I love what they're doing right now, Lou. And not only that, they kept around some elder guys, and Jeff Stoutland, for example, who worked. They're not just giving coaches the position because of their age. They're doing it like they're doing the roster. It is a competitive, more advanced thinking, stylistic coaching, I would say, just overall in the building right now. Like they're changing their whole culture there, not just at the in the locker room, but at the head coaching and every other coaching position. They're getting younger, they're getting more effective on offense, they're getting more effective on defense. They're going to bring in more athletes on this team, and I firmly believe when Sirianni says he wants to work with Howie Roseman, the first thing he's going to say is we got to get quicker, we got to get younger, and much like the roster, you're doing that at the coaching staff. And take away their ages, just look at their resumes. They speak for themselves. I'm not going to judge these guys who have had success in multiple different NFL teams, multiple different Power 5 conferences in college ranks. They're doing it the right way. I'm glad they're not doing what Detroit is doing and bringing in all these recycled coaches that have never been outside the NFL within the past 15 years. I love what they're doing right now.
Thanks for the question, Luke. Great stuff there. We're going to wrap up this edition of Twitter Tuesday on Locked On Eagles coming up next right here on LOE. And guys, today's show is sponsored by RockAuto.com. One reason to repair and to maintain your car is to save money that you can then use for other important things like the mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, or 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are exactly the same for everybody, and they're always reliably low. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com, again, are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck. Make sure you write down Locked On in there, how did you hear about us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. And guys, today's show is also sponsored by TurboTax. No two people are alike, and no two tax returns are alike either. Thankfully, TurboTax Live is experienced tax experts who are ready to listen to you, learn about your unique tax situation, and help you get the best tax outcome. Maybe you got married this year and have some questions about how that affects your filing status. Maybe you want an expert to review your return so you don't miss any deductions on the new house you just bought. Or maybe you want to hand the whole thing off from start to finish so you can focus on anything else in your life. Whether you want to file with the help of an expert or let an expert file for you, TurboTax Live tax experts give you the confidence to know that your uniquely you taxes are done right. Intuit, TurboTax Live. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Locked On Eagles. Today, Twitter Tuesday, a mailbag portion of LOE. Again, we're going to do this every Tuesday now, I think, so hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Birds or email us at LockedOnEaglesPodcast@gmail.com. Want to hear from you guys, the listeners. Some great stuff so far. Shout out to Leo, Eric, Grumpy Warrior, don't know your name, but it was a great question about the defensive prospects in the first and second round, and Luke as well. Great stuff about quarterbacks, about the coaches, about the draft. We'll wrap up with one more question. Leo actually wrote another question in, and he said, guys, if Devontae Smith or Ja'Marr Chase are not available at pick six, do you trade back there, or are you comfortable with multiple prospects on both sides of the ball that you would justify taking? I would likely move back, but I'm not so sure. I mean, it's got to be Smith or Chase, I hope, that are there. If not, I'd probably be looking to move back.
I think both you and I have the same sentiment on moving back and who we would take. Yeah. If you're sticking at six and none of those guys are there, like I said, I don't even know if Patrick Surtain warrants that six overall pick, unless it's a quarterback that you want to change the overall face of the franchise even more. You make that pick at six, but I think you and I have mentioned this a few times. Trade back to number nine, get Kyle Pitts. I think his elite playmaking ability, regardless of what you want to call his position, is something that this offense could definitely use. And if you could acquire a first or a second to move back three spots, say to the Carolina Panthers or Detroit Lions who want to move up and get a quarterback, you can do that. And you're in a good position right now, being at that six overall pick. But if those two receivers are there, selection's easy. If not, you move back and you're playing with house money at this point.
Well, and Gino, even, you know, I think another name that comes up because the Eagles need a receiver really bad after Smith and Chase, it's Jalen Waddle from Alabama as well. But even there, I think we both like Waddle a lot, but I would be more comfortable taking my chances moving down a couple spots, two or three spots, like you're saying at nine, and then taking whoever's available between Pitts or Waddle if you really want one of them. Or maybe Patrick Surtain is still there. So as much as I like Waddle and Pitts, I would rather, again, it's about value. Can I get those guys at nine and collect another day two or day three pick rather than just sit there and take them at six and kind of reach there? So I like those
especially
players,
because
you have to
get younger too.
Right.
It's not a matter of just needing picks to need picks. You are legitimately going to have to have more swings of the bat because you will not have enough players to play. Or
and not to mention you swing out more than most teams if you're Howie Roseman's the drafter.
Fair.
So I want him to have more chances to take players.
Always. I mean, even the best will say it's a crapshoot. There's a good piece from a longtime NHL GM, and I think it was the old GM at Tampa Bay, and he's like, when he was building those Stanley Cup teams, he's like, honestly, I don't know any better than anybody else. We just had more picks, and we landed on more of those picks. And that's what it comes down to. I mean, you look at Kansas City. They just hit on more picks. Those good teams, they hit on more picks. They dig in, they get more information, and they make the right selections. And you're right, Howie hasn't made the best selections in the past. But if you could put together a good day one and two with the great day threes that he's been able to accumulate the past couple years, your team could be back on track, and it's going to be nice to see them get younger and faster for once and not have a bunch of slow Snorlaxes on the outside flopping around trying to get downfield running 4.8. I'm over that.
Love the Pokemon reference, too, by the way.
Run. Oh, yeah. I love it. I want offensive linemen that can run. I want defensive linemen that explode off the ball. I want linebackers that can play at all three levels. I want safeties that can do the same thing. It's a different team. It's not the 2017 Super Bowl anymore. You can't be going and re-signing guys like Vinny Curry or Corey Graham or any of those guys. Get younger, get faster, get smarter, and completely overhaul this team in the way that you want it to be. And don't do just a little teardown. If you want to overhaul the quarterback position, you have to do it. It comes down to what Sirianni wants. It comes down to what Howie wants. But you're in a good position right now, Lou. Losing those last couple games and quote-unquote tanking, I think we're all past that. And we're looking to see the bright future here in Philadelphia.
Thanks, everybody, for asking all those questions on today's edition of Locked On Eagles Twitter Tuesday. Really fun to get your guys' perspective and, again, let you guys kind of dictate what we talk about on the show. There was a lot of great stuff, and we'll be back next Tuesday to do the same. So, again, get your questions in on Twitter all throughout the week at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase, LOE, at JC24. @LockedOnEagles_football. And our email is LockedOnEaglesPodcast@gmail.com. Today's edition of Locked On Eagles was sponsored by 1010, which is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a set of 10 uniquely beautiful diamond rings, and they're available now exclusively at BlueNile.com. For Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. Be sure to subscribe to Locked On Eagles on any podcast platform, and we'll be back on tomorrow's edition of the show, episode 3 of 5, downloaded into your phone. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.